We thank the Lord this morning for his goodness to us. Thank him for all that he's done for us. Thank him for touching Brother Parrish during service. Thank him for doing all the wonderful things he does for us. And this is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, when Jesus rose from the dead and became the Savior of the world. So we want to talk a little bit about the resurrected life this morning. I want to talk a little bit about what if you let this resurrected life do for you? It's a wonderful thing to be able to know that we have a way back to God. We've all gone astray and been out there and gone away. It's a wonderful thing to know there's a way back. There's a way back to God. There's a way that has been opened up that we can have our sins washed away by the blood of Jesus, and that we can live a righteous and a holy life before him. We thank the Lord for that. We want to start in Acts, the 24th chapter, starting at the 14th verse through the 16th verse. And this is Paul. He's been brought before the magistrates, and he's having to give an answer to them of what's been going on. He's been accused of causing riots and all, and he's somewhat defending himself, but he's also given his testimony. It says in the 14th verse, "But this I confess unto thee," these magistrates, these leaders, "that after the way which they call heresy," the Jews had been bringing him up, saying he was teaching heresy, "so worship I the Lord of my fathers, the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and men." This is what he was telling them. This is what I do. I work at it. I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and men. This is resurrection. This is resurrection working in your life. To have a life that is void of offense. To where you can stand before God, and you can look, so to speak, God in the face and come to the realization and know that you are accepted and that you have come into the kingdom and that you are living for him. And it's a wonderful thing. It takes away all the fear. There's so much fear in the world today. But when you know that you are on God's side and he is on your side, it takes away all that fear. There's a lot of things going on in the news, a lot of terrible, horrible things that are happening, and happening to religions all over the world. It's happening everywhere, and it's the devil. He's coming against all the Christian, coming against anybody that believes a different religion than what I believe. It's a horrible thing that so much wars have been fought, so many wars have been fought over the fact that I have a different religion than you do. But this is the enemy of our souls. This is the enemy. It's not about politics. It's not about world governments. It's not about any of those things. It's the fight between good and evil. That's happening all over the earth. Anywhere where the enemy can get a foothold in, that's what he's doing. Anywhere where he can cause and stir up trouble and strife, that's what he's doing. Anywhere he can get to the place to where they have such prejudices and hatred against a whole societies and whole segments of people, that's what he's doing. And we can see this, and we can see that it's getting worse. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. And we see it in our own country, but then when you hear the news and you hear it happening in all the other countries, it's happening everywhere at once. What does that tell us, dear ones? The end is coming. The end is coming. The Lord said perilous times would come. And these are surely perilous times, that people don't even know they can be just on vacation somewhere. They can be sitting in church and they don't know but what something bad is going to happen to them right then. These are perilous, perilous times. And it's spread throughout the world. It's not just in one country. It's everywhere. This is a battle. This is the battle of Armageddon taking place, that between good and evil on this earth. And they're fighting for souls. God wants our souls and the enemy wants our souls. This is where we are at. But Paul is saying, this is what I do. This is how I exercise myself. Here I am. I'm being put up before magistrates. You know, I can be put in prison. And eventually he was. And all these different things that can happen to me. But this is what I do. I exercise myself. I make sure that no matter what is happening, that I don't let it get in my heart. I don't let it affect me. I don't let it keep me from worshiping God the way I should. That I exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense toward God and man. I'm not trying to stir up men. I'm not trying to cause trouble among men. I'm not trying to voice my opinions and try to stir up people and riots and all that he was being accused of. But what he was doing was he was exercising to not be offensive to God. God had called him to a work. God had called him to do something. He had to do it. This is what he was doing. So, and then he had a conscience void of offense. Dear ones, we're going to have a conscience that's void of offense. We all have come short at some time or another in our life. And we have sinned. But what did Jesus come for? He came to take away sin. Amen. He came to forgive us for sin. Amen. He came to put something new in us. We read in our Sunday school the lesson this morning in Ezekiel that he was going to put a new spirit within us. It was going to, there was going to be a difference. It wasn't going to be that, yes, I'm saved, but I go right on doing the same old things I always did. That isn't the way it is. That isn't a resurrected life. Amen. Resurrection has a meaning to it. Yes. You know, to be resurrected into a new life. So we want to read in Romans 6 today. And we're going to go through the whole chapter. Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Jesus died for us. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Is grace going to abound? Grace is the unmerited favor of God. Is that going to abound when we continue on in sin? When we go ahead and keep doing those things that we know are wrong? That's what sin is. You know it's wrong, and you do it anyway. That's sin. God forbid, it says. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Oh, you know, there's a lot of teachings out there in the world. A lot of teachings out there that say that you're going to sin more or less every day. But no, we don't have to do that. Sin is a willful act. It's knowing this is wrong and I'm doing it anyway. It's not a quick emotion that comes over you and you speak a word out of turn and then you apologize. That's not sin. That's not sin. That's learning how to control all of the reactions that we have to people and things in this life. It's a learning process, but it's not sin. Sin is a willful act, premeditated. I know this is wrong, and I do it anyway. And what it's saying here, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? God saved us from it. We came forward. We knelt at an altar, or we knelt at home, or some people have prayed in cars, all manner of things of places and people have been when they've got a hold of God. And what do they do? They die. Yes. They die. And they come and they're resurrected. Yes. It's a new life. Amen. It's new. They don't want to do the same things. They don't want to do. I know there was one, I know of a man who was a drinker and he went and he got saved. He went down to an altar and he wept and he got saved and everything. And then he asked the people that he had knelt at the altar with, and he told this story. He said, What do I have to do now? Teach me. Tell me what I have to do now to keep this. And they said, nothing. Nothing. God paid the price, and you just go free. And he said, nothing? He said, no, you don't have to do a thing. Grace covers you now. No matter what you do, grace covers you. And he went right out and went to the bar. He didn't need to do anything. He didn't need to change anything. But yet when he got up, he knew there was something he needed to do. Yes. And he asked, but they gave him wrong information. Yes. That's a sad thing. Yes. But we hope to give you good information. Yes. It says, know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Yes. Baptism is a form. It is an outward show of what's taking place in the heart.
Yes.
We have died to sin. So we go down into a watery grave, laid out as if we're under the earth. And we go down into a watery grave. And then we raise up, resurrected, to a new life. It's an outward thing that we do. It's already taken place in our heart. It's already done that. But now this is an outward show of what has happened in my life. I want everyone to know, I died to something.
Amen.
I died to something. And when I come up, I am living for something new. My whole direction has changed. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We're walking a new life. Aren't you glad that we can do that? Aren't you glad that we can actually have a new life? Because listen, none of us have been satisfied with everything in our life. We just weren't. When we were out there in sin, there were some sins we didn't want to give up. I know. We've been there. There were some sins we didn't want to give up, but there was a whole bunch of them that we wished we could get free of. That we wished we weren't involved in this, and we wished we didn't have habits like this, and we wished that we reacted to people better, and we wished that all these stories weren't told about us because we have such a temper. There was a lot of things we wished that we could change. But here it says we walk in newness of life. We go down into that watery grave, come back up. The grave, the watery grave, doesn't do anything for us. It happened way before we got to the water. It happened before we got to the water. Happened inside in a twinkling of an eye. There was a change took place. And you wanted to do different. You got up thinking, I want to be different. I want to do different. None of us knew what that meant yet. None of us knew what it was all going to entail. None of us knew the battles we were going to fight. None of us knew how we were going to have to fight the enemy and fight the devil. But we wanted something. We wanted something different because we were tired of what we had. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin.
Amen.
We should not serve sin. See, that's what we were doing out there. We were out there, we were serving sin. We couldn't help ourselves. We tried. Didn't you try? You were out there and you tried. You knew there were some bad traits. You had some bad things. You had some bad ways about you. And you knew you needed them changed. And you tried. And you know what? Many of us had a little bit of success for a few weeks. We concentrated on it and we worked on it. And we had a little bit of success for a few weeks. But it wouldn't take long before it all just would come flooding back. And that's what this the world is all tied up in New Year's resolutions. But not very many New Year's resolutions make it for the whole year. They just don't. Most of them don't make it out of January. Because we don't have any strength in ourselves. If there's one thing you learn out in sin, you don't have much strength. Because when things come along that tempt your flesh, you don't hardly have any say over this flesh. This flesh seems to just rule and reign and take you wherever it wants to go. And that's the enemy of our souls dealing with us. For he that is dead is freed from sin. See, when I die to myself at the altar, I'm free from sin. Why? Because self, the flesh, is the cause of sin. The enemy works with that part of our lives. He works with our flesh. Are we going to always have the flesh? Yes, we are. Are we going to always have to fight the flesh? Yes, we are. The Bible plainly tells us that we're going to have to fight the flesh. But in the midst of your fighting your flesh, what are you doing? You're just teaching yourself new habits. Because when you were out there in sin, you learned so many bad habits. You learned how to defend yourself. You learned how to manipulate people. You learned how to get your way. You learned how to react to this. Oh, if I show tears here, this person just breaks down. You know, if I show strength over here, they back away. You know, if I do this, if I do that. And we learn all of these conniving ways to handle our life. All of these ways to make sure, why? That I always come out on top. That I'm going to be the one that walks away from this. I'm going to be the one on top when we walk away. I'm going to be the one that is able to go away and say, I sure told them. And we want them to go away all bowed down and everything because we told them. God wants something different. Amen. So this flesh that we have, yeah. It's going to have to die. Yeah. And it's going to have to die. It'd be wonderful if our flesh could just die at the altar. But unfortunately, that does not happen. Our flesh is going to be with us forever. Because our flesh is all about what we want, how we want it, how we feel about it. All of our individual little quirks and everything. That's our flesh. And so I'm going to have battles with me. That's all my flesh is. It's just me. And I'm going to have battles getting myself to conform to what God wants. Amen. So it says, now if we be dead in Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Then it says, likewise. You know what that means? That means all that you just read there, what Christ did and how he did it and how that we need to be dead in Christ and knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, he dies no more and he just lives for God and he always was doing God's will and his bidding. It says, likewise, you... Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. To be alive unto God. To be able to hear that still small voice that tells you, don't do it that way. Do it a different way. You don't have to. You don't have to be so forceful. There are people that feel like that if they're not forceful, nobody's going to pay attention to them. Maybe they grew up in a family where you had to be that way for somebody to take notice of what you were saying. See, these are all learned traits. We didn't come out of the womb with them. We learned them. We learned them from all the people around us who we grew up with. And so there are a lot of traits, family traits, running down through your family. Can't you see them? Can't you see them? There's so many of them that you see, and you see it all in everybody. Oh, you know, a lot of people say, oh, he looks just like him. But for better than that, they say, oh, his mannerisms are just like, he walks just like, you know, she turns her head just like, and we see all these little physical things. But I'm telling you, there's deeper than that. Because the same sins they had, you learned. Whatever they had, you got it. You understood it. Some of us resisted it. Some of us didn't like it, so we resisted it. That was good. But we still found it coming out every so often, didn't we? Why is it that the man that raises and abuses his children, why is it do they raise up to become abusers of their own children? See, the traits are in there. See, the flesh. The flesh was trained to react certain ways and to do certain things. And so it carries on. You can hate it, but you find yourself doing it. I've had many of my children come back and say to their father and I, "Oh, we used to hate this about you, but guess what? We got it too, Mom. We got it too." You know, all I can say is that you work at it and you get rid of it. But it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. Some things do. Sometimes you can get a victory overnight and it's done. But a lot of things we have to work with. We have to ponder. We have to go to God. We have to do a lot of praying, maybe some fasting to get rid of some of those traits. But oh, and all that time that we're fighting with it, our children are growing up seeing it, being exposed to it and everything. And then they later in life, they say, "Mom, you used to do this and that and everything. How do you not do that now?" You know, and all you can say is, it's God. Amen. It's God. When we see something about ourselves and we take it to God, God is all powerful. Amen. He is able to open it up, expose it, show us where it comes from, why it's acting that way, what it really is. You know, many times a lot of the things that we think are useful in life are really not. And many of the things that we want to call one name, the Lord's going to call it something else. Yes. You know, we want to call it standing up for ourselves, and the Lord says that's just pride. Oh, because see, pride doesn't sound so good. But standing up for yourself sounds better. So we've named things different names than what God would call them. So it takes him a while to get us to understand the vocabulary of righteousness. We want to call things different names, the names that the enemy taught us. But God wants us to call them by his names. So then we learn, okay, this is pride. And that's connected to pride. And this is just my flesh wanting its own way. I thought I was fighting for truth. I thought I was standing firm for this or that. And it's just my flesh wanting its own way. And you know, God is the only one that can reveal that to us. To help us to know and understand that we have that in us. It's very hard to get a hold of that for ourselves. So it says in here, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it, and in the lust thereof." Mm-hmm. Don't let sin reign. Oh, dear ones. That's what we did out there. We tried hard. But it reigned. It reigned. We couldn't hold on to a good principle or a good thing for very long at all before we were off the rails on it, going off on a different track and going somewhere else. And we would look at it and say, "I'm doing it again. Why do I keep doing this?" Because it's sin. You can't help yourself. You're living out there. The enemy is your taskmaster. He's the one controlling your life. He's the one teaching you. He's the one prodding you. He's the one telling you, "It's okay, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Go ahead, go ahead." And then you taste of it and you go that way and you find out at the end that it's dead and empty and nothing to it. And then the enemy just sits back and laughs at us. God doesn't do us that way. Aren't you glad? When he starts to deal with us and tell us things, he doesn't laugh at us. He has compassion on us. He has pity on us. He understands the power of the enemy. The enemy came against him. He came against him out in the wilderness, tempted him for 40 days and 40 nights, came against him in the garden, tempted him there right before he was ready to die, trying to make him think that you're not going to be able to do it. Your flesh is going to draw back. Because he was flesh and he was God. Your flesh isn't going to make it through. God, the God part can, but the flesh can't. The flesh isn't. He had to fight the devil off of his flesh. But God is so good. He understands. Oh, he understands us. So it says, Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Yield not your members as instruments of unrighteousness. That means don't let my eyes go where they shouldn't go. Don't let my hands do what it shouldn't do. Don't let my feet take me where I shouldn't go. Don't let my mind dwell on things I know better than to dwell on. Help me, Lord. Don't yield. Don't yield. You see, there's an agreement. When we were out in sin, we agreed with sin. We agreed with it. And when we agreed with it, it overtook us. When we come into salvation and we have God on our side, we agree with Him, and that will overtake us. He's more powerful than the enemy. We just sometimes haven't learned it yet. I don't know about you, but I've been saved a long time, but I'm still learning. I'm still learning the tricks of the enemy, and I'm still learning the power of God in my life. You would think that once we experience the power of God in our life just one time, it would be enough. And we would say, oh, no problem. This is easy. I'm just going to turn to God every time. But that isn't what happens, is it? Oh, we fight and we struggle and we deal with the enemy in our minds and all these things. But God is so patient, so merciful. Why? Because He was here. He had a human mind. He knows how it's affected. He knows how the enemy works with it. He knows how the things that are happening around get into the mind and want to cause you stress and problems, and how your mind wants to dwell on the things, because your mind has this wonderful thing called memory. And it was God gave it to you because it was good for us. But out in sin, it remembers all the bad things. Very hard to remember the good things. But once you get saved, you know what you have to do? You have to retrain that mind with God's help, to retrain that mind to where I begin to remember the good things instead of the bad. I get rid of all the bad information, all the bad memories, all those things. I let the Lord help me and challenge me until I get to the point that I can have a memory of it, but it doesn't affect me anymore. It's as if it was happened to somebody else. I remember it happened, but nothing rises up in here. There's nothing in here that answers back when I think about it. There's nothing that causes me distress, because God has taken care of it. It is a wonderful thing to have your mind cleaned. It is a wonderful thing. My husband didn't know very much about computers, and he would get viruses. He would get stuff. I don't even know how he did, how he got into all the stuff that would happen to our computer, because it never happened to me. But then he was on, you know, buying and selling websites, and he was going different places than I would go, so that's probably why. But anyway, ever so often he would just say, I'm taking this down to Best Buy and I'm having it wiped. In other words, just take everything out. And that was his answer, because he couldn't fix it. He didn't know how to fix it. And he would just take it down there and completely wipe the whole thing out. You know, so you're just starting over. And then I would have to spend a whole day putting all the programs back in that we wanted to have in there and everything, and work with it and get it all set up for him again, so that he, you know, a year from now, he'd wipe it again. That's what God does to our mind. He wipes it. He helps us. He blesses us. It is a wonderful thing, but we have to yield. It is a giving up of ourselves. It is a giving up of our ways, our ideas. Oh, it's hard to give up our own ideas, isn't it? But God, He is so good. He makes the way attractive. He makes the way attractive. Oh, there was a lot of things. When you're standing on the outside looking in, you're saying, I don't know, that just doesn't look like it's very much. Doesn't look like they do much. It doesn't look like they have much joy, or what do they do for fun? And, you know, all these things. They're outside looking in, doesn't have very much attractiveness. But, oh, the Lord, doesn't take long before He shows you what is so good about this. And when you run into your first trial after you're saved, and you don't know what to do, but you know, all you know in your heart is, I want to do it right, but I don't know the right thing to do. And the Lord not only tells you the right thing to do, but then he gives you and supplies the strength and the power to do it. And you get on the other side of that and you look at it all different. Salvation is different now. It's different now. I know what it does now. This is wonderful. There's a whole lot of things I want to get rid of out of my life. There's a whole lot of things that I don't like about me. Amen. And all I have to do is go to God and give them over to him and confess before him. This is not a good thing. This is not a good trait. I don't need this. I don't want this. This doesn't represent you, God. He will help us, strive with us. He will be there when we cry. He will be there when we pray. He will be there when we make a mistake and a little bit of it comes out and we go, oh, Lord, I thought I was over that. And he'll say, oh, there's just a few roots left. Come on. You can do it. Keep fighting. Keep going. You can get on the other side of this. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. Sin no longer has dominion over us. Why is it that when that little attitude slips out or that word we say in a harsh way or something, why does it bother us? Why does it bother us? It used to be that we not only, a little thing would slip out, but we would carry it right on out into sin and really do something with it. But now just the hint of it, just a little word, and we're distressed and we're worried. Lord, you know, I don't want this. I don't want to be back there. I don't want to, you know, why is that? Because sin doesn't have any dominion over us anymore. We just have to unlearn some things.
Amen.
We have to unlearn some things. We're to keep striving to be more like Christ all the time. Striving for more righteousness, more holiness. The Bible plainly teaches we have to live a holy and a righteous life. And that we cannot let sin come into our lives. So when we see those little things pop up, those little attitudes and those little somethings, it's a distress to us. Because we don't want to go back there. We've been free from that for a long time now. We don't want to go back there. It's miserable back there. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. See, dear ones, it's all about yielding. Oh, I may say something the wrong way. I may, attitude may pop out. But immediately, I don't yield to it. I don't yield to it. I don't let it attach itself to me. I don't let, it's just like thoughts coming into your brain. Thoughts, you don't have to let them rest there. You know, you don't have to let them stay there. The older ministers used to say, you don't have to let them make nests in there. You know, a nice, secure little place where this thing just sits there and it harbors and breeds and gets bigger and bigger. You don't have to yield to that.
Amen.
We yield ourselves to God. See, we have choices. Oh, when we were out in sin, we didn't have many choices. We were yielding to sin all the time. Oh, we thought there were things we weren't going to do. We thought there were things on lines we weren't going to cross. We weren't going there. But that isn't what happened, is it? We crossed so many lines that we said we wouldn't cross. We would draw a line in the sand, and the next thing you know, we're on the other side of the line. So we draw another line. Okay, but I'm not going this way. I'm not going that far. And before you know it, you're drawing another line. You know, the world has that saying out there, you know, draw a line in the sand. You better not cross this line. And that's the way. That's the way we were. We were hoping that drawing a line would make it happen. But it didn't. Because sin had us. We were yielding to it all over the place, and sin had us. And so there was no way that we could keep from crossing the lines. But now we yield ourselves to God. And we find out we don't have to cross a line. We don't have to lay down a line. We don't have to lay down a line. When was the last time you laid down a line? You don't have to do that anymore. Because you're just yielding to God every day. And his still small voice speaks to you, and you just yield yourself. You just lay yourself down. And you just say, I'm going to do it your way, Lord. No matter what, I'm going to do it your way.
Amen.
Yield. And see, it's who you yield to. Who you're going to yield to. Your own flesh. See, in this, when we get saved, we have to deal with our flesh. You're going to yield to your flesh, or you're going to yield to the Spirit of God? Which are you going to do? Oh, we fight for a while, don't we? That flesh is pretty strong in the beginning. But you know what? After a while, it gets smaller and smaller and less and less. And before you know it, it's a rare thing for the flesh to rise up. It's a rare thing. The devil comes in and he does this and he does that, and we have immediate answers. Oh Lord, you know, bless here. Help this not to go any further. Oh Lord, help me to be quiet. See, because I learned. See, I've been learning how to control my flesh, how to keep it under, how to keep it down where it needs to be, yielded to God and to God only. And so things come, and I notice right away, I get a hold of it, and I say, no, that's not going to happen here. I'm not going to let my flesh, I'm not going to let myself think like that. I'm not going to let those harbor those thoughts. I'm not going to have ill will to somebody. I'm not going to do those things. Lord, the Lord brings us into more and more trials and things because he wants to fine-tune us, get us down to where he fine-tunes all those things and makes it easier and easier and easier. We become more holy. We become more righteous. We become more to a place where we can receive. Where we can receive what the Lord has for us. I forgot what verse I'm on. Thank you. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness.
Yes.
Oh, listen, that's a better place to be a servant, don't you think? Oh, being a servant of sin, just being drug around, doing all manner of evil things, even things you don't like, even things that you wished you hadn't done. But now you're servants to righteousness, to where you're yielding yourself to righteousness, and the righteousness just naturally flows out. That righteousness just naturally comes to the surface. Something happens and somebody says something and righteousness answers. Instead of your flesh. Because you've trained it. The Lord and you have trained it. It is a lifetime spent training your flesh to react the right way. It's a lifetime. The devil will think up something new. You get the victory over one thing, he'll come up with something else. It's all right though. Because if we've gained one victory, we can gain them all. That's what the Israelites failed in. God would help them gain a victory, and then they would fail. And the next time, they wouldn't have any confidence, and they would be afraid and everything. Why? It's what they did in between the battles.
Yeah.
See, it's what they did between the battles. They started serving other gods, and they started yielding to other thought mechanisms and other places where people were thinking, you know, and worshiping idols and worshiping different gods and everything. And they began to take on those traits. It's what they did between the battles that made the difference. God didn't change. It's what they did. See, that's what we have in our flesh. It's what we do between the battles. See, it's what we do. Do we, you know, make it to service? And do we, you know, testify? And do we pray and worship God? And do we set aside time every day to spend alone with God? The God that created everything. The God that is so much bigger than you are.
Amen.
That you're a worm in his sight.
Yes.
You're nothing in his sight. He can take you out in a second. But he wants you to come to him and talk to him. He wants you to come and let and the two of you reason together. Just like Adam and Eve talked with him in the cool of the day. That's what God wants. He wants to reason with you. That's what God was doing. He was teaching them things. He was talking to them about things. He was helping them to understand what righteousness was and holiness was. Because they were grown people, but they didn't have anything educated quite right yet. But God was educating them. And God is educating us. He's blessing us, helping us, showing us. It's a wonderful, wonderful relationship. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members to uncleanness, to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness and holiness. It's all about yielding. It's all about being in agreement. It's about being in agreement with God, His ways, His righteousness. When we learn something new, this is the wonderful thing about salvation. When we learn something new that He wants us to grab a hold of, some new righteous thought, some new holiness that He wants to have in our lives, something new, isn't it wonderful to have something new? Wouldn't it be boring to all get it all at once and never have to do anything else? It would be boring. But that isn't what God does. He keeps coming back. He keeps salvation so interesting, so wonderful. It's got levels and depths and things that you can learn. And you know that you can yield yourself just as much as you want to. And you can go just as deep as you want to go. Or you can stay as shallow as you want to go. God will not press you. He will not make you. But it's a wonderful thing to desire the deeper things of God and be able to get there. Amen. It's not just a wish. Out there in sin, there were things you wanted to change. But it was just a wish. Yes. You couldn't get there.
Yes.
But in salvation, you can get there.
Lord.
You can learn it. You can hear it. You can understand it. And you can get there. It's not something that you have to just stay in this condition. Oh, woe is me because of the way I was raised and all these thought processes and I can't get free. That's what the world out there is saying. They're saying, oh, because I was raised this way and because I was taught that or I was abused as a child and everything. And I'm not saying those things don't leave scars because they do. But God heals scars. See, He takes them away. He causes you to be able to forgive and forget the past and be able to make a life right here. He took that lunatic man running in the tombs, the cemetery, naked, cutting himself, carrying on, screaming, acting horrible, acting like a beast. The devils were just ruining him, beating him, torturing him. He couldn't stop. He couldn't do anything. People tried to help him. They tried to tie him up. He broke the bond. You know, they would try to help him. He'd go after them and beat them up. He was horrible. But Jesus came.
Amen.
Jesus didn't even say, hey, come here. He didn't even say that.
Nope.
See, the soul inside of a person yearns for God.
Yeah.
Even when you're out there in deep sin, your soul yearns for God. And if you will let it loose and not confine it to what you want and the way you want, if you will turn your soul loose, it will go to God. Your soul wants to be with God. And that man out there in those tombs came running and fell at Jesus' feet. He got freedom. He changed a lunatic man into somebody in their right mind. And oh, that man, don't you know? There were times out there that he wished those chains would have held. And there were times out there that he wished they'd have just locked him up somewhere. Don't you know? He was an embarrassment to his own self. But he got free. And then what did he say to Jesus? He says, I want to come with you. What did Jesus say? He said, no, you can't come with me. I want you to go back and tell everyone what great things I have done for you. Jesus wasn't worried about him making it. He knew that all he had to do was yield. He would make it. He knew that all he had to do was listen to God. He would make it. He knew that there was a start in there and there was something growing in there. And all he had to do was yield to what was growing of God inside his heart, and he could make it. Oh, we're so scared sometimes. We're so scared. You know, well, they got saved, but oh, we're worried about this. And what if that happens? And what if, listen, Jesus told that man, go back to your people. Do you know that those were idol worshipers? He was going back into a country full of idol worshipers to tell them about Jesus. None of us have that duty. Or do we? Because there's a lot of idol worshipers out there. They don't have gods necessarily set up in their house, but they have gods set up in their mind. And they are chasing after something. They are all wrapped up in something. They are something that they're in that they put higher than God. And he says, don't worry. If they want to, they not only can find me, but they can make it. Amen. And there's nothing you or I can do it. They have to do it. They have to do it. They have to say, yes, Lord. They have to fight their battles. Can they ask for help? Absolutely. Have we all asked for help? All the time. Yes. But we know we have to do it. Yes. Sister so-and-so over there in her house can't do it for me. Yes. Brother so-and-so at work can't do it for me. I have to fight this battle right here, right now. Yes. I have to do it. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things wherein you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Resurrection. Listen, resurrection takes place when you come to God. You have resurrection through your whole life. Stepping out into eternity is just another form of resurrection. Yes. It doesn't change. Nothing changes. Your soul is still free. You are still in the kingdom of God. It's going to be different out there. None of us have been there yet to know exactly what it is, exactly how it works, but we know it's going to be a whole lot better than what the devil has to offer. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit in holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I want you to know something. Everyone's going to get eternal life. All people will have eternal life. There is a doctrine out there that when you're dead, all consciousness is gone and you're just gone and there's nothing else. That is not true. Yeah. All people will have eternal life, but they won't have righteous eternal life. Yeah. They will have sinful eternal life. Yes. There's a difference. Yes, sir. There's a big difference. Our last scriptures, John 5:28-29. It says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Amen. The Bible's very plain. Yes. We're all going to be resurrected. Some of us are going to have peace, joy, happiness. All of the rewards that any human being could ever fathom or understand, we will have beyond what we can think. The Lord told us so. but also those that are resurrection, the resurrection of damnation, they're going to have all the misery, the worst kinds of misery, the kinds of misery that you don't even want to think about, the kinds of misery that you've heard that have happened on this earth, horrible, horrible things, and it's going to be worse than that. Listen, this is Resurrection Sunday. It represents the day that the Lord came out of the grave to be our Savior forevermore, to make a pathway from sin back to God so that we do not have to be in the resurrection of damnation. We can be in the resurrection of life. Not only that, but it starts right away. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Oh, you know, some people, you get promises. And you know, there are people that store up for their retirement. And they're putting this money away and that money away. But they have to wait. They have to wait for retirement before they can enjoy any of it. They can't touch it till then. That isn't true with the resurrection of life.
Amen.
The minute you get it, you start enjoying it from that point forward. You get it forever, right on out into eternity. It just gets better and better and better. It is a wonderful way to live. And it's all about yielding ourselves. We can yield to the Lord for righteousness and holiness, or we can yield to sin for the resurrection of the damnation. Amen.